Frank has a chance. We'll probably take the week to give him a chance to come back, but I'm hopeful. But he's not coming along as fast as we had hoped.
Mike, I know you're a cold weather team, but how does the climate, the conditions that are expected on Sunday affect the passing game? What points do you emphasize to your guys?
Well, everybody has to play in it. Really, just handling the football in cold weather. We had the opportunity to practice outside today. We also have the opportunity to open up our indoor facility, the Hudson Center. The temperature inside, I think, was between 29 and 32 degrees today. So we're working as much as we can handling the football in this type of weather. But we don't feel it affects us at all.
Mike, when your franchise made the decision a few years ago to go with Aaron over Brett, is this the quarterback you envisioned he'd become?
I think he's definitely the quarterback that we all hoped he'd become. He was a young, talented quarterback, had a very bright future. And now we're in year three of his development, and he's definitely developed into a special player. He does it the right way. You break him down physically, mentally. He's in a great rhythm right now. He's playing his best football of his career at this point, and that's what you want, especially this time of year. So he's definitely a big-time quarterback. He's everything we'd hoped he'd be.
Mike, is there anything you can attribute the way he's playing over the past four games, he's out the game with the injury against New England,
he's
come back,
and
he's played it, like you said, that very high level. Anything
triggered
this recent run?
Well, he's played at a high level really all year. I know what the numbers are, but, you know, Aaron is a very consistent player, and it probably stems from his personality. He's just a very consistent, clearly one of the most consistent quarterbacks I've had the opportunity to work with. He's the same person every day. He doesn't swing, with the highs and lows of ever how the season's going or how a practice is going. So, and I think it really carries over to the playing field. He works extremely hard at his craft. He's done a great job with his body over the time that we've been here. I mean, he's a well-conditioned athlete. Just the way you see him play in the pocket, gets out of the pocket, he's very strong. He breaks tackles. He's able to extend plays, but he's just a very consistent individual, and I think it has a lot to do with the way he's playing.
Mike, the referees for this game are the same as in E3. Now, obviously, your team is much better in the penalty department, or is that something as a coach that you stress in meetings to say, watch your P's and Q's because they may call it tight again or whatever?
Well, I don't think you can really look at the first Bear game. I understand. We had 18 penalties. They had 5 penalties. But we finished the regular season ranked number 3 in penalties. I think 4.9, around 5 penalties per game. So 18 penalties in one game, we looked at as an anomaly. I know it's more of an all-star crew. Terry is the referee. He's obviously been selected for this game for good reason. So we look at that game as an anomaly. And I don't think this game is going to be about anomaly officiating. So these are two very good teams that earned the right to play in this game, and this game will be about the football teams.
A year ago, one of the criticisms of Aaron during last season was that he took too many snaps, sacks, and held the ball too long. How did you guys work through that and get him to the point now where he obviously believes?
Well, sacks are usually the combination of things. If it's usually just one individual or something that you're doing, it's you usually fix it before the whole season goes by. But we got off to such a poor start in pass protection. And it was a combination of everybody involved. And from Aaron's perspective, and there were times where he was holding the ball trying to make plays. And it's just the development of how you play in the pocket, the time clock in the pocket, the ability to get out of the pocket. You can't come out every single time. A throwaway is a positive. Actually, when we grade the quarterbacks and when they throw the ball away, that's a positive play because you go on to the next down. Punting is okay if you have to throw it away on third down. So it's just an experience that he learned from.
When you look at your run game, last week it was like about 2.8 a carry or so, but are you happy with the production there? Because it seemed like Starks usually gave you a positive yards. They kept you in good situations.
Well, the most important statistic in the run game, as I stated in here weekly, is attempts. So I think we were at 31 attempts last week, and And if we can run the ball more than 30 times this week, I think we'll be very successful.
Mike, the Bears almost took starts a little before you guys in the sixth round. Do you remember, going back to draft, I know it's a ways back, but do you remember feeling fortunate that he was still around, or did you talk about him in the fifth round? Do you remember that at all?
I just remember when we selected him, and I didn't know there's a relationship there in Buffalo. Alonzo Highsmith has a relationship, and everybody was excited when we drafted him. You know, as far as the Chicago Bears being on the phone and so forth, I was not aware of any of that. So we were happy we selected him that day, and we're even more happy he's here today.
Mike Martz is known as a pass first guy. A lot of people, as far as how run heavy the Bears have been in the second half of the season,
I think they're just doing a very good job of playing to their strengths. I mean, the formula for success, running the football has a lot to do with it. I mean, if you look at the way the offense has performed over the course of the season, they've had very favorable field position in running the football, and particularly of late, and how they ran the ball against Seattle is a little different than how they run the ball against us in the past. So those are the types of things we're looking at. But Matt Forte is an outstanding football player. He's clearly one of the better players on our football team, and they're doing a good job getting the ball in his hands. So I'm not surprised by it at all.
After Hester broke the one in Chicago, what was the key to containing him or neutralizing him here in the second game?
Well, ball placement and coverage. That's really what punt protection comes down to, and the punt protection converting to punt coverage. I think we do a very good job in the protection aspect of in our punt game. A lot better this year than last year, so we feel good about that. But where you place the ball and how you cover it. And the return last year, or excuse me, the return in the first game was the ball was punting right down the middle of the field. So we still got to cover the ball. We didn't do a very good job covering it. We didn't do a very good job placing it. So that's what we have to be very aware of this week.
You don't have a lot of older veteran players on your team, but for a guy like Donald Driver at this stage in his career to be one game away from the Super Bowl, can you appreciate what that means to him?
Definitely, I can appreciate it, and you can really see the urgency too. And it's really Donald all the way down, particularly the players that were here in 07. You really have an understanding now how hard it is to get to this game. I know my first year in the NFL, 1993, we went to the AFC Championship game, and you kind of think, boy, this is great, and it's not that big of a deal. But it's such a hard game to get to, and just the urgency, the messaging from the veteran players to the younger players. I really like the pulse of our team, the energy of practice today. They're just really into it. And it starts with the guys like Donald, Charles Woodson. You have conversations with those guys. And they know how important it is to get this opportunity accomplished, because you don't know when it's going to happen again.
Not that you never say let's win it for Donald, but do you guys use those veteran guys? I mean, there's such respect the guys in the locker room between Donald and Charles. Do you lean on them at all? Do you try to?
Well, I look for opportunities to give leaders a chance to grow and express themselves. We've had playoff captains, so I've given those guys an opportunity to talk to the team before the game, right before we go out. So, but most of that stuff goes on in the locker room when they're in there together. So our leadership has definitely improved over our 5 years here, and definitely this is the best group of leaders we've had in my time.
How does Woodson play into that, Mike?
Excuse me?
How does Woodson play into what you're talking about?
Well, he's one of the playoff captains. He's clearly one of the leaders in the locker room, and he's done a very good job of speaking up. Charles was someone that didn't always say a lot. It was more one-on-one, but now he's stepped to the forefront. Him and Aaron have done a very good job, standing up and saying things when they need to be said. It was close. Well, we just felt that this another week would be better for Atari Big Big, so I anticipate a good chance of going this week.
Do you think the potential for footing hurts or helps a guy like that?
I would think it helps the individual with the football. I think any time you're on a surface that's not to the level you'd like it to be, it favors the man with the football or it favors the individual, and it knows where the football's going. So that's where I've always viewed it.
Mike, you guys have played four straight must-win games, and the guys, Tremont, talked the other day about staying up till midnight studying film. Any concern about the guys being emotionally or mentally drained going into this?
I don't think so, just because of the schedule that we've been on. We've had 3 days off, so you could just see Monday that they were really into. They wanted to get started on Chicago. We just went through the personnel breakdowns of the Chicago Bears in all three phases, and then had the day off Tuesday. I just really wanted to get them on a normal week, and today they're very attentive. So if we are guilty of anything, it'd be too much energy. I don't think we're worn out at all. So I think coming off a sixth day, I think the schedule definitely favors us now.
In the last couple of years, there's been a number of teams, head coaches, that turned former head coaches to hire coordinators. It seems like the more this season, I've been to Atlanta, Kansas City, and now you're placing a claim between this week that's got two former head coaches. Talk about the coaches understanding that there's maybe a little bit more value there, they're not looking over the shoulder, and how does that translate on the
Well, when you have a former head coach on your staff, I mean, it definitely brings value to your program. Just the opportunity to be a head coach in this league, the opportunity to speak to all you wonderful people is an experience you definitely can learn from. So it just improves your staff, and it improves the awareness game day. So, I mean, it's definitely something that's an advantage. It's definitely something that Dom Capers brings to us here in Green Bay. I've had the opportunity to have endless conversations with Dom about things he's done in the past. He's built two programs, from scratch in the National Football League, Houston and Carolina. So be able to listen to his experiences and he shares that with the other staff members. It's definitely a value to your program.
They're known as a cover two team, Mike, but are they trying to mix man into that? Is there anything they're doing this year to try to confuse people a little more?
No, they do a very good job. I think this will probably be the best defense we've played to date. Just how fundamentally sound and the way they're playing. They've been together pretty much the whole year. They haven't had any injuries. They're definitely better from the first time that we played them in the second time. So very impressive the way they played in Seattle. But they're running their system, their schemes, and the more three shot probably than two right now, but it's a lot of that has to do with the opponent and score of the game and things like that. So they're playing at a very high level right now on defense.
Mike, how much does Brian Urlacher? Last year he wasn't on the team; they were 7-9. This year he's playing with them and they're in the NFC Championship game. Could you talk about
Brian Urlacher? Is one of their leaders. I mean, he has a complete understanding of the defense, but even more so the communication that goes on the field of the offense. He does a very good job of sorting out audibles and the communication that goes on offensively. You may check to a play and he may check to a coverage. So he has excellent command of that defense. He's been playing in it forever. There's a reason why he goes to the Pro Bowl every year. So he's a big part of what they do.
The training camp is about adding the team pictures to the wall among the lore of Packers hats. With everything that's going on with this team this year, specifically with the injuries, how hard was it to not lose sight of that ultimate goal?
Well, we've never lost sight of it because it's always right behind me every day when I speak to the team. I pointed at it again this morning, and we're halfway there. We talked about 16 quarters as a football team. We've completed 8 of them, and we need to capture these 4 in Chicago, and it puts us closer to get that picture on the wall. So it's a goal that's still in front of us, and it's a goal when we started, and it's still the goal today.
Mike, you were able to contain the last two backs you faced in McCoy and Turner. What does Matt Forte do well, and how do you contain him?
I think Matt Forte is a complete back. I mean, you could just see they get him the ball, obviously, as a runner, but also out of the backfield. So he's an excellent fit for that offense. He's a big back, which definitely in these type of games, this type of weather on that field is what you're looking for. So we got to do a very good job tackling him, gang tackling him, getting him to the ground.
Mike, can you talk about Jordy Nelson, the flexibility he gives you, and how sometimes it seems almost like a tight end, especially in the red zone?
Jordy's having a heck of a year, and really, Jordy is what you're looking for as an individual in the whole receiver group. And what I'm referring to is all five of those guys play all five positions. So you don't have to line just this receiver at the X. I've been in programs where you can only play certain players in certain positions, and that's not the case. And that's a great asset to have as a as a strategist, you know, week in, week out. And you can also try to tailor them to certain guys run routes better, certain routes better than others. You know, body type obviously factors into it. But Jordy's doing a heck of a job. You know, James Jones is definitely in the same category. So when you have that much flexibility where all your receivers can play all the positions, it's a big asset.
In the last 4 weeks to allow your defense to be so devastating in all aspects. Is it that combination of youth and experience and everything just coming together at the right time?
Well, I think you've answered your own question, but also, you know, it's year two. I mean, the communication's excellent. Just the play speed this year compared to last year has definitely improved. We've always been very highly skilled as far as having the ability to get our hands on the ball, taking the football away. We're doing a very good job of that. You know, and schematically, they just have such a better understanding of what we're asking them to do. So our defense has done a great job, particularly, you know, keeping people out of the end zone. Our big emphasis last year was red zone defense and adversity defense, and those are two that are our strengths this year. So anytime you make corrections from year one to year two and you see the benefits, it's refreshing.
Hey, one more question.
How much fun have you had this year with this team?
How much fun? I'm having a lot of fun now, I'll tell you that. There's some tough moments, but I think it definitely was a great experience for all of us. You know, we say it all the time as a football team, if you don't deal with adversity, you're not moving forward. And we're a perfect example of that. So great work ethic, a lot of character in the locker room, really a fun group to coach.
Mike, you've come across more confident with us in the last several weeks, maybe after the Detroit game, before you went into New England and said, "We're nobody's underdog." Was that calculated? Did your guys need that after the Detroit game, or is that just how you felt? And that's how you felt?
I think it's how I felt. I don't think I'm a very calculated individual. I don't think I can pull that off. Nobody's underdog. You know, we're nobody's favorite either. So that's our motto today as a team. But you know, this group has a lot of confidence. We've never wavered from our goals. We've had challenges. Everybody does. But we're here for a reason. We deserve to be here, and we're excited about getting to Chicago.